Before we dive into the episode, I just wanted to let you know about my A to Z encyclopedia in case you don't have it or in case you're new here. If you find yourself constantly obsessing over anxiety symptoms, you constantly think that you're dying, you're constantly worrying about your health, you're always on Google, you're desperately seeking reassurance every single day, then I wrote this book for you. I used to live on Google, and as I'm sure you know, it never ends well and it only intensifies our fear and causes us to spiral. So, some things to know about this book. It's a book that you will refer to daily if you suffer with severe health anxiety and constant physical symptoms. It includes every symptom you can think of, but it also includes calming methods, coping skills, underlying triggers, nutrition and supplement recommendations, and everything in between in regards to anxiety, even little pep talks on especially hard days. As an ebook, it means that you can start reading immediately, right away, as soon as you place your order. I honestly poured my heart into this book, and I wish that something like this had been available during my worst days. And that is exactly why I wrote it for you, because you may very well be exactly where I used to be. So I hope that this book helps you. You can find it at anxietyatoz.com, or you can also find the link in my caption. Hello, I have this overwhelming urge to say, like, hi my babies, like, because I feel like you guys are my children. It's so strange, I know, because we're all different ages here, of course, but I just feel so protective over, this community and all of you guys, and I find myself sometimes wanting to be like, hey my babies, like, how are you guys doing? Like, I just want to hug all of you. Anyway, let's put the weirdness aside. Here we are, I think this is the first podcast episode for February. I can't speak today, can I? I'm just trying to see what the date is. It is the 8th. Oh wow. So I did skip last week, and I'm gonna get into it in a minute. Like, okay, so let me just gather myself here because I already feel like I'm all over the place. I told you guys that for the next episode I wanted to do a symptoms episode, but this is gonna be another just like a chat with you guys about some things. I just want to give you like some updates about some things in my life and how I've been feeling, because it is anxiety related, and I know that a lot of you guys could probably relate. And then I also wanted to talk a little bit about GAD. I just did a blog post about that GAD and that impending doom feeling that we get. That's that, you know, that feeling in your gut, like something is coming, that horrible feeling of anticipation, but we aren't sure what exactly we're anticipating. I want to talk about that a little bit as well. And yeah, I just wanna catch up with you guys and ease right back into a new month. And I have a list of symptoms that I want to do. But anyway, we're here now together, so let's jump in. Sometimes when I start recording these episodes, I'll completely stutter and stumble over my words, and I'll have to just delete it and start over because it's just such a mess. And I just recorded like that first bit now, and I'm thinking like, I already feel like I'm stumbling over my words, but I try to leave the podcast as is so that it just is natural, because I mean, if we're having a conversation face to face, it's not going to be perfect. I'm going to stumble over my words or be like, oh, what's that word again? Or you know what I mean? Like that, it's just natural like that. So just bear with me. I feel like I'm just, especially lately, I feel like I'm all over the place. So I'm just trying to figure out where to begin, because as always, I probably should have made notes. I always have a list in my head of things that I want to talk about or things that I want to, share with you guys or work on. Blog posts, podcast episodes, newsletters, like there's constant, like I have so many notes in my phone. I even text myself stuff, like just as I get an idea, I'm like, oh, I need to talk to you guys about that. And I just text myself. So of course I'm sitting here now, and the whole day I knew exactly what I want to talk about, but now I'm like, where do we begin? So let's just begin with how I've been feeling lately. As you guys know, I like to share how I've been feeling because a lot of you guys always ask me like you want to know. And the reason that I do it is because often a lot of you guys relate and feel the same way. And of course, I know how helpful it is to hear someone share something that they're going through, especially if you're going through the exact same thing. So if you've been here for a while, then you know that I have spoken about depression that I deal with. I've dealt with it for, I mean, I can remember dealing with depression from probably about 14 or 15 years old. And I've been pretty open about my struggle with depression. If you're new here, then surprise. Sorry, I'm just so awkward sometimes. But if you're new here and you didn't know that, then I have suffered with depression, as well as anxiety for as long as I can remember. And it's just something that I've just accepted as, I don't want to say as part of me, because I always tell you guys that we are not our anxiety, we are not our depression, but it's something that I have accepted as something that I deal with from time to time, and it does flare up for me sometimes. So lately, I don't want to say it's depression that I've been dealing with. This has been kind of different, and the only way that I can describe it is that I've been feeling very burnt out and just completely drained. And I know that I'm definitely not the only person to feel this way. I mean, we wouldn't be human if we didn't feel this way, especially nowadays with how technology is, all the apps that we have, social media, the constant scrolling, the constant stimulation. Like, we have access to anything and everything. Just like it's so overwhelming. And I know that you can agree with me on this, especially if you're a millennial. I grew up, now I sound like an old grandma, especially if you're a teenager, but anyway, settle in and listen. I grew up during a time when we didn't have everything that we have now. And a guy actually shared a video on TikTok the other day. I always reference TikTok because I seem to just really enjoy it. I don't know. I really like the videos that I'm getting on my feed right now. I've been able to customize it, so I'm just seeing content that I want to see. But this guy posted a video the other day, and he was saying that if you're a millennial, you'll really relate to what he has to say. And he said he asked people to close their eyes, and he painted this picture of like a typical day in the 90s or like the early 2000s, where Like early 2000, what am I saying? Where you wake up in the morning and the first thing that you're doing is not jumping on your phone and seeing what the latest posts and videos are on some social media app. You're just laying in bed. It's a Saturday morning. You can hear the birds outside and you're just thinking about your day ahead, which is probably going to involve, hanging out with people in real life, like not over a screen, or getting outside and actually being present with nature and feeling the sun on you, and you're not glued to a screen. And the way that he just, like, I closed my eyes and I did it. I wonder if I was the only one that did it. But I closed my eyes and I just listened to what he was saying, and it just took me right back to being a kid, even a teenager, because I actually had a cell phone as a teenager. But I mean, the main thing that I used my phone for was to text people, like to text my friends. That's all I used it for. I still grew up in a time when, like, your friends call you on your home phone and they get your parents, or like you call your friend and their parent picks up, and you have to like ask to speak to them, So obviously things are very different now, and trust me, obviously I'm grateful for technology in the sense that, we can have this community. And when I dealt with severe anxiety as a teenager, like I wish that there had been the resources that there are now, and there had been like all these groups on Instagram and these accounts, I mean, and like, you know, being able to interact with people, just on posts in the comments, even like it can be very helpful when you're struggling. But I do miss that. I do miss just being more present with people. I feel like I go out and, you know, no one makes eye contact with you. Everyone's staring at their phone. I'll open up TikTok or I'll open up Instagram to go put a post up or to share something with you guys on my story. And immediately you're just like bombarded with all of this information just because you never know what you're going to get. Like, it could be absolutely anything. I feel like I'll scroll on TikTok and it will be a really funny video with like someone sharing something funny that their dog did or something. And then the next video is very emotional, and we're just going through this roller coaster of emotions all day and just being confronted with so many different bits of information that it really can feel incredibly overwhelming, and it can lead to increased anxiety. I mean, there's children nowadays dealing with depression. There's a massive increase in anxiety and depression in people who are way too young to be dealing with that. Like, they need, I feel like, you know, they're just not children anymore. Like, anyway, I feel like I'm just rattling on now, so I'm going to just come back. But the point is, like, just getting back to what I was saying initially, is I've just been feeling burnt out, and I've just been kind of longing for a slower pace of life. And I know it's up to us to give ourselves that, but obviously it's hard because, I mean, this is the age that we live in right now, right? So we kind of we can slow down and give ourselves more time for ourselves and do what we need to, but this is still the reality that we live in. So it can be hard because it's really about finding a balance. And then there's things online that just frustrate me and make me not want to be online at all. But then the thing that keeps me there, like the reason, like the main reason that I have social media to begin with, is because of our community. If it wasn't for our community, I don't think that I would be very present online, to be honest. There's just things, and I've spoke about this I spoke about it in a newsletter and on my story on Instagram, and there's just like really disappointing things that like so many people don't realize, things that I didn't realize until our community started to grow, and then bigger accounts, like you start to interact with people who also have like other mental health accounts, and I've interacted with people with some really big accounts, and I had mentioned this before, and I'll mention it here, and I won't say names, of course. I would never do that, but there's somebody who is very big on TikTok, and they wanted to grow their Instagram, so reached out to me and wanted to do some collabs, and were asking me like questions about just like how Instagram works and all of that, and I was more than happy to help. I've really had to learn that you can be helpful and caring and like want to help people, but I can be kind of naive and too trusting with people. That's a big lesson that I've had to learn, is to be more on guard, and like, you can be friendly and you can be open, but just don't just trust people right away, okay? It's just like a hard pill to swallow that some people online seem so caring and like they genuinely want to help you, but I know the reality behind the scenes, that they really just care about how many followers they have, how many views they get, little tips so that they can get more views, and like, I totally get like wanting to get your content out there because you want to reach more people and you want to help more people, and the more people that see it, the more people you're able to help. But a lot of the time, these people really just want more followers as like it's like an ego thing, and it's like it's this hit of dopamine. you know, when they see the amount of views that they have and followers. And anyway, with this person, they were so sweet, and I was like, wow, this person's really nice and blah blah blah. And then the minute that they had more followers than me, they actually unfollowed me, which just was just like, and this has happened a few times actually, with, you know, a person will unfollow when their account is suddenly doing well, and then I will just never hear from them again. And it's just disappointing. And I realize that this is life, and not just in this context. Like, I'm sure that you have experienced this yourself with someone in your life, or maybe with multiple people. It's just disappointing. And there's things like that that sometimes just completely demotivate me. And I'm just like, ugh, like, it's just like this ugly side of social media. And it's just a side that makes me feel like, I always say it makes me feel icky. And just, it's so frustrating because I'll see this person or these people online, and I don't want to make this podcast episode a negative episode where I'm just ranting on. I'm just trying to be honest with you guys about, you know, the side of social media that I don't like. It's just hard sometimes because I don't have control over that. Like, I'll see someone and I'll know how their mind works, and I'll know that they don't really care. And they'll be fooling people, but, you know, what can I do about it? It's so frustrating. Like, sometimes I find myself just, I get so upset about it. And I was thinking about it, and I was like, why do I get so upset? And I think it's because I just, when I'm here and I'm sharing with you, I'm doing it, I'm not trying to like hype myself up here or say that I'm so perfect, because I'm definitely not, but I'm genuinely am doing it from a place of love. Like, I shared on Instagram for probably 2 years with nothing happening. I didn't even think, oh, in the future I'm going to write a book and sell products and make any kind of money online. Like, I wasn't even thinking about that. I just wanted to share my story. And obviously the fact that I've been able to write books and, you know, I've been able to make a living off of doing something that I love has been amazing, but it wasn't the main reason that I started this. It wasn't even the reason. I didn't even think that this would be how it is now. So I think I just get frustrated. Sometimes I get people messaging me and they're like, I need to grow really quickly. Like, how do I grow, like, within the next week or within the next month? And I'm just like, I was sharing stuff every single day for 2 years about anxiety, like just sharing my story every day. I remember I would come home from work, and that was something that I would look forward to at the end of the day, was to share something on my Instagram about anxiety and like foods that have been helping me and how I'm feeling. And I had a handful of people seeing these posts. I would be lucky if I would get one comment, but I was doing it because it felt good. And like, when one person said, wow, that really helped me, I'm actually going to try that, that made me feel so happy. And I was like, okay, like, I feel like I'm doing something good. But nowadays it's like, I don't know, there's such a focus on numbers and how many comments and like, oh my gosh, it's just exhausting sometimes. And I think that's a big part of why I've been feeling like I've been feeling. So anyway, I just needed to get that out, but I'm still here. I'm not going anywhere. I just have times when it's just very overwhelming and draining. And another thing is, like, when people blatantly copy your content, I've had people copy my content and I've called them out on it. And I actually had someone say to me, they said, well, I don't understand. I thought you do this because you want to help people. So why wouldn't you want to be reaching more people? With me sharing your stuff, we're reaching more people. And I said, sure, like, of course I want to reach more people. And if we're able to help people, that's amazing. But firstly, they weren't giving me any credit, and they were taking my exact words and my story and passing it off as their own. And that is problematic to me, because if someone has a story to share, I'm not going to go and take that person's story away from them and their experience from them and pass it off as my own simply because I want to get views. It's that kind of thing that I struggle with so much. And I've had to understand that I can't control it. Like, I can't, like, I'm not going to catch everybody who does that. Sometimes I do, and I will call them out on it or whatever, but I can't catch it all. And it's something that you just have to let go of. It doesn't feel like, think about yourself, right? Like, we all have a story to share. We all have personal experiences that we've been through. And sharing them online is a very vulnerable thing to do. But I've done it because I want to help people. So for someone to take that experience of yours, like your very vulnerable and personal experience, and pretend that it's theirs, I have a problem with that. I have no problem with people sharing posts and like, I have no problem with that. But I'm saying, like, literally writing a caption or like writing something as if it's theirs, I have a problem with that. But again, I can't control it all, and there's gonna be people that do this all the time, and I'm not gonna catch them all. And that's been a big thing I've had to learn, because I've noticed something about myself is that I do have a problem with letting go of control. Like, I feel like I always need to try to control things, and it's been such a massive lesson in my life, especially over the past few years, where I've had to learn, Tamarin, you cannot control everything. There are some things that you have to let it go. So let that be a lesson for you too. But trust me when I say that I know it's so much easier said than done. And then another thing, wow, this is just me like complaining, but I feel like on Instagram, I'll just kind of share that I'm struggling a little bit, or like mentally, or I'll just not show up for a little bit. And when I say that, I mean like a day, because it's so hard for me to stay away, because I feel so connected to our community that I just want to be there. But sometimes, like, I'll just take a whole day away because I'm just not feeling good. And another thing that's really been affecting me pretty badly, especially this winter, has been the weather and the complete lack of sunlight. I saw on my weather app, I think it said that we had like 26 day or 20, yeah, like 26 days of cloud in December, and like 28 days of cloudy weather in January, which, as you can see, is like hardly any sun. I don't even remember the sunny days, to be honest. And I think the days that there were sun, I would wake up to sun and be like, oh my God, yay, I'm so grateful. And then 2 hours later, it would be cloudy again. So it was basically 2 solid months of just complete doom and gloom in terms of the weather. And it has taken a pretty big toll on me mentally, where I wake up in the morning and I've been feeling like this lately. And I've been trying to figure out why I'm still feeling like this, because we have had some sunny days. Right now I can see some blue sky and some sun poking out, and we've had a lot more sunny weather this month so far, and I can't even tell you how grateful I am for that. You don't realize how much you need the sun until you don't see it for 2 whole months. But I've been waking up lately where as I open my eyes in the morning, I just don't want to get out of bed. Yes, the weather plays a part in that, of course, because I wake up, it's cold, it's dark, it's gloomy. It's like, why am I awake? I've just been waking up feeling really flat. I'm not gonna say sad or like I want to cry even, just flat and just completely like unmotivated for the day ahead. Like, I've been waking up and being like, I don't want to be awake right now. And I've had days where I've tried to get up. Like, the other morning I woke up and felt like that. I was like, I'm gonna get up and have my usual day. I went and put the kettle on and I made myself some tea. And because I always make either warm water with lemon, or lately I've just been waking up and having mint tea. So I woke up, made myself some tea, and I read a few pages of my book, and I was trying to just get into my usual routine. But I just was so tired. I just wasn't feeling it. And my brain was just saying, why are we awake? Like, why are you up right now? And I actually just went back to bed for like another 2 hours. And then when I woke up, I felt horrible. Like, I felt sluggish. I felt awful for the rest of the day. Like, just so tired. I find that when I wake up and then I go back to sleep, I tend to feel really bad. So I really do try. Like, this morning, I was able to get up. And it definitely helps in terms of the sluggishness. Like, I don't feel that heavy, sluggish, fatigued feeling today. But man, it's been a struggle, and I just want to really just take a moment to acknowledge you and validate you if this is something you've been dealing with, whether it's due to depression or, you know, seasonal depression, or you've been struggling with something, or maybe you don't know what's going on, but the mornings are just really hard. Trust me, I know, like, the mornings have just been really hard for me lately. I've also been feeling kind of anxious, like that feeling in your stomach, just that feeling of kind of dread. I've been feeling that. So I'm just trying to be honest and just share with you guys what's been going on. Today is a better day. I'm trying to not think too hard on it and not be like, why am I feeling like this? I need to get to the root of this. What's going on? I always encourage you guys to ask questions when you're feeling a certain way. Sometimes we can kind of figure out where it's coming from just by asking questions like, have I been more stressed than usual lately? Have I been eating a lot of processed foods and a lot of takeout, a lot of sugar? Have I been drinking, like, alcohol? Have I been having too much caffeine? Have I been overworking, not taking breaks? Do I need to go back to therapy? Is there trauma that keeps coming up that I'm not processing? Like, obviously, when we ask these questions, it can help us to kind of pinpoint why we're feeling the way that we're feeling. And I do encourage that. But right now with me at the moment, I'm trying to not think too hard into it because I'm doing all the things that I know help. So I'm just trying to continue doing that. I know that going to bed too late is not helpful for me, and that is something that I'm still doing. So that, for example, can be one thing that I can try to change and work on. And so that can be the one thing that I'm going to do. I'm trying to not overwhelm myself by being like, I need to do this. I need to get back into like more intense workouts and, you know, putting that pressure on myself. And I hope that this encourages you to not put that pressure on yourself if that's something that you tend to do. I'm trying to really just let myself feel how I feel. But if I'm able to do things that I know will help me to do those things in the moment. I told you guys that I wanted to talk a little bit about that feeling in your gut. I'm going to link my new blog post in the caption for you because I really go more in depth in there and you can read that and understand it a lot more. But it's a very common feeling with generalized anxiety disorder, with GAD. It's just this feeling, it's this pit in your stomach. It just feels like you just kind of feel like something's coming. The way I would describe it is if you know you have an upcoming appointment or like a meeting, or you have a doctor's appointment or a dentist appointment or whatever it is, that feeling leading up to it is just, as it gets closer, you're like, oh, it's just that feeling of dread, right? But with GAD, you can have this feeling with nothing. Like you haven't booked anything, you don't have anything upcoming, but you still feel it. And then because you're like, well, why am I feeling this if nothing is even happening? Then your brain starts to kind of fixate on that. And then you start thinking, well, maybe this is a sixth sense. Maybe something is coming. Maybe I need to pay attention to this. And the minute we give it that attention, we start to think of it as a sign, as an omen. Our brain starts to kind of hyperfixate on things that we come across. Like if we see a scary video about an illness or about someone who has died suddenly, we think, oh, well, that's it. And then we start to link things up to that feeling in our gut, and then things just spiral from there. So I really just want to remind you guys that with GAD, it's not just, you know, your heart racing and, you know, struggling to get a breath and shaking. Those are all definitely very common symptoms of GAD. And there are many, many more, some that are very strange and maybe hard to understand. And I have an episode where I actually talk through just really quickly. It's like 10 minutes, I think. I just talk quickly through 100 symptoms of GAD if you want to go listen to that one. But I think we don't talk enough about the feelings, right? But that feeling in your gut, that feeling like something is coming, I feel like something is coming, I feel like this feeling of impending doom constantly, it's very common with GAD, and then it only intensifies during a panic attack. So if you have panic disorder, you may have, with GAD, you may have that feeling just lingering there all the time, just that unsettled feeling in your stomach. But then during panic, when you're having a panic attack, it intensifies to like the max degree, the max level, the maximum level, right? And in that moment, the impending doom may be so severe and so overwhelming that you feel like you're going to die. And unless you've had a panic attack, you really can't understand the feeling. The times that I've really, really struggled with this feeling, especially, is during nocturnal panic. When I wake right up into a panic attack, that is the absolute worst for me. And I think why it's so bad is because when we just wake up, we disoriented, we're still groggy from sleep, and we're still trying to figure out like where we are, what's going on. And then we're feeling these overwhelming feelings of just absolute terror, really, and fear, and all these physical symptoms, and our brain starts latching onto each feeling and each symptom, and that impending doom feeling is just that terrible. And then obviously we panic over that feeling, which intensifies the panic that we're already feeling, and it's just a cycle that just continues and like feeds into everything, right? So I just wanted to give you that reminder again in case you needed it, or maybe you didn't even know that that was a symptom of GAD, but it's very common to have that feeling in your gut. Another thing that people ask me all the time, this is a question that I get constantly, is I don't understand why I'm feeling anxious on a good day. Like, why I'll wake up with no symptoms, but then I have that feeling in my gut just lingering, like really uncomfortable. It's like, why am I anxious when I'm not anxious, kind of thing. And then of course it comes back to us taking this as a sign, and we're just anticipating the anxiety coming back, and often that anticipation does bring it back. But the reason that you're feeling anxious when you're not feeling anxious, if that even makes sense, but I know that if you're listening to this, you'll understand and you'll completely get what I'm saying, is because when you're anxious constantly, every single day, morning, night, all the time, what happens is that becomes your comfort zone, right? So feeling uncomfortable is comfortable for you, which sounds crazy, but that's just how it is when you're anxious. You've gotten so used to feeling uncomfortable that that has become your comfort zone. So any feeling that is out of feeling uncomfortable, your brain is going to see as something different and interpret this as danger. So the minute you're actually feeling okay, your brain is like, no, this doesn't make any sense. And it sees that as danger because you're effectively stepping out of your comfort zone into comfort. I'm hoping that this makes sense. And then as I spoke about in the podcast episode before this one, I think I titled it like, Are You Hating on Your Anxiety or something? It's up to you to let your brain know, let your body know that you are safe. So often, you know, we're having a good day, we're feeling all right, we have that lingering feeling in our stomach, and instead of us trying, and listen, you're not going to say to yourself, I'm feeling good, I'm feeling fine, and your brain is just going to believe it. You're going to have to do it many, many times. But often what happens is we latch onto that feeling in our gut, that, you know, that feeling that, oh, something's coming, something's wrong. And it just spirals from there because we start to pay attention. We give it attention. We give it attention. The minute we give a feeling or an emotion attention, our brain sees this as confirmation that we are in danger, and then things just spiral from there. So when you are having a good day, you can even place your hand on your belly, wherever in your body you're feeling tension. I find that it can be really helpful to actually put your hand there, and then when you're breathing, kind of just breathe into that area and just tell yourself, like, I am allowed to feel good and I'm allowed to have a good day and I am safe. Like, I am safe. Just do that every single time, do it multiple times. Even if your anxiety comes back, it doesn't mean that you failed or you lost your progress or you did it wrong. But every single time that you do feel good, just place your hand on your belly, on your heart, wherever you feel the most tension. You could put one hand on your belly and one, the other one on your heart. And just remind yourself that, like, I am allowed to feel good and I am safe. And it sounds so silly. A lot of the things that I share sometimes, I hear myself saying them and I think to myself, it just sounds like such a small and insignificant thing. It sounds so easy, but the more you do it, you won't believe what a difference it can actually make. So do that as many times as you need to, and don't underestimate the power of, like, these really seemingly tiny things, okay? Trust me, we sometimes look past them, we sometimes overlook them, and until we start doing them consistently, and then it just starts to become automatic, and we realize, hey, I've actually had a good day all day today because I allowed myself to feel good. Every single time that I was feeling good, I reminded myself that I'm allowed to, and today is the day that my brain finally believes it. And you know what? The whole of today was a good day. I warned you that this was going to be all over the place. I actually wanted to start. The main reason that I wanted to record this was because I've been having a TMJ flare-up over the past week, I would say. And if you're like, what on earth is that? I'll get into to that in a second. But I actually wanted to really start with that. And because I know a lot of you guys definitely deal with the symptoms that I'm about to mention. But as always, you know, things went a different way, but that's okay. We go with it. And I hope that everything I've spoken about so far does resonate and does help you if you're going through it yourself. But so with the TMJ, so anxiety can cause TMJ issues, which is when you clench your jaw and, you know, grind your teeth at night. I'm talking to myself here. And this can lead to a whole bunch of other symptoms apart from just obviously tightness in your jaw and jaw pain. Because obviously, if we're clenching up an area, it makes sense that that area is going to feel tight. It makes sense that we're going to have pain in that area. But what we don't realize is that everything is connected. So you can actually experience many other symptoms that may not make sense. But then, you know, when we come back to where it's coming from, and in my case, you know, clenching up my jaw, we're like, oh, okay. So it's connected to that. I used to clench my jaw throughout my day, grind my teeth at night. I would always have a lot of pain in my jaw and my neck and my shoulders. I would always tense up my shoulders as well. But I've gotten to a point where I have a lot more awareness of that. So throughout my day, I really, not always, but most of the time, I do tend to catch myself when I am tensing up my shoulders, when I am kind of clenching up my jaw. And then because I have that awareness, I'm able to realize what I'm doing and release the tension in those areas. So that's great and everything. And I really want to encourage you to pay attention throughout your day to how much tension you're holding into your body. Like, deep breathing, consciously releasing your muscles are so important when you have anxiety, because when you are tensing up your muscles for a long period of time, it's going to cause you significant pain. Okay. I shared this thing ages ago, where I said, set reminders on your phone if you have to. And it sounds silly, but a lot of people enjoyed that post because we do it automatically. We don't even realize that we're doing it until an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours have gone by, and we're like, oh wow, I've really been hunched up with my freaking shoulders around my ears, right? So setting reminders can help to obviously remind us that, you know, we're tensing up and just to like let us know, you know, to release any areas of tension. So if you find that you are extremely tense, you don't have any awareness and you're just doing it consistently throughout the day, like completely subconsciously, then set reminders every hour or two to release those muscles, because the more we're able to relax our muscles, the less pain we're going to experience. So as I was saying, it's all very well that we have that awareness, so we're able to release those muscles throughout the day. But what about at night? Because I grind my teeth in my sleep, and sometimes I will wake up in the morning and all my teeth feel sore, and I have like I've been grinding so hard that I've bit my tongue, or my cheek is all chewed up. I find that if I have like a really bad nightmare, especially, I'll wake up and my mouth will be just very tight and painful and sensitive. And this is what I'm trying to figure out at the moment, because when we're asleep, we're not aware of what we're doing. So I've been doing like some research into TMJ and ways to manage it, especially if you're grinding and clenching your jaw while you sleep. And I don't have the answers right now. I'm still figuring it out. I'm actually going to go to the dentist next week. Oh my god. Ugh. I do not like going to the dentist at all. And I am so long overdue for an appointment. It's ridiculous. I hate going. I'm going to be honest. It causes me a lot of anxiety. But I'm going to go for an appointment. And I'm going to see. Some people say that I saw someone say today, they say don't go like on Amazon or to a drugstore and just buy a random one. Go to a dentist and let them make you a custom mouth guard that can help you at night. So that's one option. I've had some people tell me getting Botox injections like in your jaw muscle or something can help. And some people say it works amazingly. Someone else said that it worked one time for them and didn't work again. I don't know, but I have to figure out something. Someone else said that sleeping without a pillow, just like with no pillow, can help. So I am willing to try anything, because I've been in a lot of pain, and that's what I wanted to share with you guys. Like, I wanted to share what, and I'm going to do a post on this as well. I wanted to share the symptoms that you can experience if you deal with TMJ and if you are constantly clenching your jaw, whether that's during the day or at night when you're completely unaware of it. So these are, and some of these, and I've had TMJ always, but I have not delved into it as deeply as I have recently. And some of these symptoms I actually didn't know. I'll let you know which ones, but let's start with the ones that I am aware of. And I've been dealing with every single one of these symptoms over the past week. Okay, so obviously, like we said, you're going to get a lot of tightness and tension in your jaw. Like, it can feel extremely tight and uncomfortable. It's like that feeling when you have tightness in your head, like that extreme head pressure. And by the way, that is another symptom of clenching your jaw. Okay, you can get a lot of headaches, migraines even, and you can feel sick to your stomach, which is just lovely. And then the jaw pain can be significant. The jaw pain can be extremely painful. This morning, I had to really focus on my breathing and just remind myself, like, I've been here before, because the pain in, like, right under my ears was really bad. And I almost took pain, like, I was going to take painkillers, and then I ended up just doing a gentle massage, and that ended up helping, and I was so grateful. But the jaw pain can be significant. And the thing with anxiety is that when we experience any kind of pain, it's a trigger for our health anxiety, and we like, no, pain like this can't, doesn't make sense. Like it can't just be from anxiety. But trust me, when you are clenching up an area, whether that's your jaw or anywhere else, the pain can be intense, okay? You may find it hard to talk, to eat, to open your mouth. Your jaw may pop and like make little popping noises. Some people's jaw actually locks, and I've had some times where like my jaw feels so tight that it feels like it's locking up. Fortunately, and knock on wood, it hasn't actually locked up, but it has felt so tight that it's worried me. Dizziness. Now, I know a lot of you guys deal with dizziness, and this can actually contribute to dizziness because it actually affects our ears. So when you're clenching a lot, you can get a feeling of fullness in your ear. You can get ear pressure, ear ringing. I've had so much ear ringing lately, and you can get a lot of pain in your ears. Like someone described it as feeling like hot ice picks in their ears, and I relate to that. And then when our ears are affected, that can throw our balance off, okay? Which means that you can now deal with dizziness as well. So I'm not saying that if you're dizzy, it's definitely that. And anxiety dizziness can be due to a bunch of different things. Shallow breathing is one of the biggest contributors to anxiety dizziness. But TMJ is another one that is top of the list. And I feel like so many of us who are anxious do clench up our jaw. It's like an extremely common thing. So if you're dizzy all the time and you deal with a lot of jaw pain and TMJ issues, it may be connected. Here's something that I didn't know, but then at the same time, I feel like I did, and I feel like I've discussed this before. It can actually cause pain in your chest. So the TMJ issues can actually cause pain in your chest. And I have spoken about this before, because when you're clenching up one area, it can, I mean, everything is connected. So if your chest muscles are tight, it can travel up into your neck and vice versa. I think I've just been more focused on when my chest muscles are tight and then it kind of like travels up versus the other way around. But it can also cause chest pain and back pain. And sometimes I will get, and I've had this always, and I've always just said that it's just a lot of mucus and congestion, but sometimes I've had that ice pick feeling in my ear. And then I've had it kind of shoot and echo down into my chest and my back. And I had that this morning. And I realize now that that could very well be linked to my TMJ. So if you're dealing with any of these symptoms and you're holding a lot of tension, and I bet you are, whether that's your jaw or your shoulders or wherever, it can cause a lot of other issues in terms of symptoms that are really, really uncomfortable. I've been feeling a lot of toothache as well. Like my teeth feel just so sensitive. My cheeks, like I have pain in my cheeks. Last week for like 3 days in a row, I had pain just all around my eyes, in like the one side of my head. There's actually this little graph. Is it a graph? No, it's like a little picture of a guy's head, and then the spots on it where that TMJ affects. Wow, I am just not explaining this well at all, am I? But I'm going to try and share that somewhere, because seeing that, I was like, I have pain in every single one of those areas. Another spot is directly down your neck, and you can get a lot of tingling in your face from TMJ as well. And like a numb feeling, and you can get tingling in your arm and your fingers. Now, these are all symptoms that make us fear a heart attack. When we have neck pain, shoulder pain, tingling in our fingers, chest pain, jaw pain, right? Especially, don't go to Google, just don't do it. But we associate this with a heart attack, but this could very well be simply from clenching up your jaw. Isn't that insane? And something that I wanted to say earlier regarding the ear ringing, it completely slipped my mind. But I saw this video pop up on TikTok where somebody said, if your earrings, and it's different for each side, but it's been my right ear that's been ringing. And apparently if your right ear rings, like the spiritual meaning of it is that your angels or your spirit guides are letting you know that they're with you and that you're safe. And it's like a positive thing if your ears ring, apparently. So apparently, funny, so like I wonder if you guys will understand what I'm saying. Apparently, anyway, I'll stop. But now I'm just like seeing that kid in my mind. Anyway, back to what I'm saying. But anyway, like, so I saw that video and I was like, you know what? I'm going to choose to take the spiritual meaning of ear ringing right now, rather than the TMJ meaning of it. Like, it's due to clenching my jaw. But I wanted to share that as a fun thing. So we look for the positives. If your ear is ringing, it could very well be your spirit team talking to you. I am actually a big believer in that. Not the ear ringing specifically, and I don't know enough about it to talk on it, but I do believe that we have guides with us, watching over us, and I'm not going to get into that in this episode because not everyone is into that kind of thing. But that was something that I saw that I thought was interesting to share with you, because I have been having a lot of ear ringing, and this morning it wasn't ear ringing, it was ear pain. And I don't know if you've experienced pain in your ear before, but it can be absolutely awful. It can cause panic, actually, because it can be so bad. So if you are dealing with ear pain, I hope this brings some comfort to let you know that I'm right here with you dealing with it. It's an on-off thing for me right now. And that looking into TMJ is, like, really consider looking into if it could be linked to TMJ issues. So one thing that I have seen is people do seem to encourage you to get your blood flowing in the areas that are painful. So I have a heating pad that I use on my period when, or even during ovulation when I have cramps in my back, or like, because sometimes on my period I'll have pain in my back and in my stomach. But I've considered wrapping that around my face at times when my jaw is just so tight and painful. But people say that actually putting heat on your face can actually really help. There's differing things where some people say alternate between ice and heat. Some people say ice. But the thing that I've seen the most of is it seems to be more helpful to put warmth there to get the blood flowing, which can help with the inflammation. And then if the pain is severe, to take an anti-inflammatory like Advil. Please keep in mind, and I should have said this right at the start, I'm not a doctor. I'm not diagnosing you with anything. I'm not a doctor, so I cannot diagnose. And even if I was, I'd have to, you know, like, we all different, and this is just a group thing here. Like, I'm not sitting down and hearing your symptoms individually, but I'm not a doctor though anyway, so do always check with your doctor if you're having any symptoms. Like, I'm going to go to the dentist next week and figure out what I can do about this jaw pain, but I'll take you guys with me, because I hate going to the dentist. Anyway, let's not get into that whole rant, but definitely do check with your doctor. But if you're able to take an anti-inflammatory like Advil, again, check with your doctor. I can't just tell you what to do, but it can be helpful. I find that Advil, and I don't enjoy taking painkillers unless I absolutely have to, but if I really have to take painkillers, I find that Advil is the only thing that works for me. I know some people find it helpful to alternate with Tylenol and Advil, because I think you can take both together. But it does seem to be helpful to get heat in that area. So gentle massage as well, just to kind of stimulate blood flow. A gua sha massage, which is, I don't know if I've ever spoken about that. It's this little tool that you use. I should actually do an episode on that. Maybe make a video. I don't know. We'll see. But just search gua sha. So G-U-A. And then a space, S-H-A. Just search on YouTube, gua sha massage. And then just like follow what they're doing along the jaw. You'll need the little gua sha tool, but I have one and I use it, and it actually does give me relief when I do it and when I stick to it. It's very good for your skin too and can keep you youthful. But seriously though, like I do enjoy it. I find it very relaxing. And then what else can I recommend? Like I can't really give you much more than that because I'm still trying to figure it out myself. But I will definitely keep you updated and let you know as I figure things out. I feel like this podcast episode, I say this always, but I feel like this one especially is just like jumping from this to this to this. I wanted to make it about TMJ, that was my goal, and then ended up talking about a bunch of different things. But I do hope that this brings relief if you're dealing with any of those symptoms. I know that like face tingling, twitching, tightness, pain can be really, really scary, especially if you have health anxiety and you have those horrible stroke fears. It's one of the most common fears with health anxiety, by the way, I should mention that. I do have a blog post on facial anxiety symptoms that may help you as well, where I share some tips. And if you have any tips for me, please let me know. I am open to receive whatever you have to share with me right now, because right now, as I'm sitting here and talking to you, and I constantly feel like I need to knock on wood because I'm gonna jinx myself if I don't, but right now, as I'm sitting here, the pain is under control. It's more just like a dull ache. It feels like a sinus type of thing. You know, when you have like a sinus headache or sinus tension, it feels like that. But it's kind of up and down for me at the moment. What helps me is going on TikTok and like watching other people's videos of people who are having a TMJ flare up. And it just brings some comfort knowing that other people are experiencing the same symptoms, just to kind of reinforce, like reassure your brain just that it is TMJ. And because you know, with health anxiety, our mind starts going wild, right? And that's been happening to me too. I'm like, what is this? Why did it? Because I had a headache for like 3 days last week. Why do I have a headache every day? But if you really do pay attention to the symptoms and you're logical about it and you pay attention to where you're holding tension, it does make sense. It does make sense. So I'm sorry if you deal with TMJ issues or pain from tight muscles, because it can be really bad. I've had to sit in bed with ice packs on my neck before from such severe pain. And now that I'm thinking back, I was still sharing this with you guys in my story in like 2020, right during the pandemic. I had this really bad, I had such bad neck pain. And I had just figured that I had sat wrong or moved wrong, because I'm always sitting in really weird positions, especially when I'm reading. So I just assumed it was from that and was told to kind of just do all the things that you would do for a muscle sprain or like, you know, muscle issues. But now I'm thinking maybe that was due to my TMJ. But the pain was severe, because a lot of people will ask me, but was your pain so bad that you needed to take painkillers? Was it so bad that it lasted for days and you couldn't move? And the answer is yes. I was taking painkillers like just on rotation then. I remember, I don't know if you guys were with me then. Some of you would have been, but I was sharing on my stories day to day like how bad the pain was. It was worse than the worst period pain I've ever had, and that's saying something. I could not move my neck. I had ice packs on it. I was taking painkillers. The second the painkillers wore off, the pain was back. I spent a lot of time in the bath, because I tend to do that. The bath. I sometimes, when I say certain words, like still in my accent, I'm just like, it almost sounds funny to me now, because I'm so everywhere around me, I just hear the Canadian accent or the American accent, like bath, you know, like you're not saying bath. But anyway, I tend to live in the bath when I'm dealing with a lot of pain, or when I'm sick, or when I'm not feeling well. Like when I had COVID, I was nauseous constantly. I had a fever for like a week straight. And the only time I felt okay was when I was in water, which, and I think I've said this before too, you would think that I'm a water sign, but I'm not. I'm an air sign, and I'm an air moon, and I'm an earth rising. I don't even think I have water in my anywhere in my chart. I have Scorpio somewhere, but I find that I just gravitate to water. I naturally want to be in water when I'm not feeling good. Anyway, thank you for being here with me for another episode. I always feel like I really enjoy these chats. I feel like they just feel so casual and comfortable, and I just feel like I can picture you sitting here with me and we're having a cup of tea or some hot chocolate or coffee or whatever your drink of choice is, and we're just having a conversation. So thank you for always being here with me. And if you're new, I hope you don't think I am really weird. I hope that you stick around for the next one. Or there's a lot of other episodes that may help you. And I really hope that they do. I guess we could consider this a symptoms episode because we spoke about anxiety and TMJ and all the symptoms that go with that. Of course, it took us a while to get there, but we got there. But seriously, though, like, I wanted to be honest with you guys just about how I've been feeling lately, and I'm okay, I don't want you to worry, but I've just been struggling a little bit mentally, and I've just been trying to go with it and just let myself feel it and not try to fight it or to change it, right? Not try to change how I'm feeling, but to rather feel what I'm feeling and just let it move through me so I can, you know, get to the other side. I find that as the day wears on, I start to feel better. But then I'm like, is it because I like bedtime? Because I like to go to bed? That sounds so morbid, but I find that evening lately, and it's not because it's getting closer to bedtime, because I actually stay up till pretty late. I just feel more relaxed in the evening. It's when I read my book and I just give myself a complete break and I put my laptop aside and I try to not go on my phone too much. But it's just a time of day that I've just been enjoying more lately. I've been reading the new Sarah J. You knew it was coming. If you're a Sarah J fan, it was obviously a really big thing when her new book came out. There were midnight parties and everything. It's the latest one in her Crescent City series. So I've read her ACOTAR series and I've almost finished this book. I think I have like 200 pages left. So it's a hefty book. It's like 840 something pages, and I think I'm just past page 600 now. It has taken me a while, but I really am enjoying it. I don't know if it's my favorite one in the series, to be honest, but I am enjoying it, and I'm all caught up except for her very first series, the Throne of Glass series, which so many of you guys have been begging me to read. I've read the first one in that series, and I have Crown of Midnight, which is the second one. And here's a question for you, and I'd actually love it if you would let me know if you have read the Throne of Glass series. When did you read Assassin's Blade? Because that, some people read that as the very first book, and other people say it's best to read after the second book. And right now I've just read the first book, but I haven't read Assassin's Blade. So when should I read that one? I think a friend told me to read it after the second book, but now I don't remember. Anyway, I'm not going to go off on a whole book ramble. Or am I? No, I'm just joking. I have so many books right now to get to, and I took out a whole bunch at the library because I have problems. Apparently, I don't have enough of my own books. I had to go to the library as well because I found so many books at the library that are like latest books on people's 2023 top like 10 of the year. So I was like, I mean, why not save money? You know, sometimes it's a great way to get introduced to an author, and if you don't like them, you didn't waste the money on the book, and if you did, you can go buy the rest or whatever. But anyway, that's my story. I love you guys so much. I wish, and I say this, but I wish that I could give you a hug. And I do hope that you feel good energy just through the screen when you listen, because I really do try to send good energy and strength and love and healing your way. Every time I sit down to talk to you, I have spoken about this, and this is something that I really would like to make a reality, is to do a little meetup. Like, I was actually thinking of doing one in Toronto soon. So, if you're in Toronto, let me know. And we can figure something out. But let me know. Like, I really would love to hear from you. Like, I think I spoke about this before. There is an option here to leave a voice note, I think. But if there is, leave me a voice note, okay? I want to hear from you. Okay, that's enough rambling for one day. I hope that you're okay. I hope that you're taking it slowly. I hope that you're not putting pressure on yourself, because that's what I'm trying to not do. I'm trying my best to not put pressure on myself. I actually told myself, it's Thursday as I'm recording this, and I'm hoping to have it up for you tonight. I told myself that Fridays I'm gonna try to just not do anything. Like, I want to just make Fridays a day. Like, do everything that I need to the rest of the week and make Fridays just chill days where I can, like, reading days. Like, make it my reading day. I still have a lot of cleaning to do in my room. That's another thing, right? With depression. And I don't want to say that because I don't feel like I've been depressed. I feel like I've just been tired. I've just been burnt out. And when you're burnt out, when you're drained, or when you are dealing with your mental health, it can feel really hard to do things. I find that I move a lot slower. I genuinely find it hard to just tidy up. Like, I have this chair that has a pile of clothes on. Do we all have that chair that is just like the clothing chair? Like, please tell me we all have that chair. But I have this chair and I'm looking at it right now and I'm just like, I need to tackle you. I saw this thing. It's someone that I follow, I watched on one of their vlogs. A tip was to set a 15-minute timer on your phone, and in that time, just tackle a task that you don't want to do and do as much of it as you can in those 15 minutes. And when the 15 minutes are up, just stop and just leave it and get back to it another time or another day. So I'm thinking, with this chair and with the books still piled up on my freaking floor, that's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna set a 15-minute timer and I'm gonna see what I can do. Maybe that's a tip for you to try. But anyway, don't put pressure on yourself. Do what you can, and please give yourself more credit, because it's not easy, like, living with a mind like ours, right? That's busy all the time. That's thinking, that's analyzing, that's doubting. It's not easy. So give yourself more credit, because you're doing the best you can with what you have, with your current situation. And things will get better. They absolutely will. And I know it feels impossible when you're in it and when it feels like things are moving slowly. But let them move slowly. Let things just naturally and gradually unfold. Okay? It really is my motto lately, is I'm trying to live a slower pace of life, because burnout is not the way. It's not the way. And it's been leading to all of these things with me where I've been tired. I've been unmotivated. I've been feeling kind of down in the mornings, especially. And then obviously I'm dealing with all this tension in my freaking jaw. So take it slow. Don't let yourself reach that point of burnout if you can. Like, don't work until the point of burnout. Just take it slow now. Even if you're feeling okay, still take those breaks, okay? I'm sending you a hug. I'm sending you love. I'm sending you strength. And I'm sending you gentleness and patience. Like, be patient with yourself. I will talk to you in the next episode.